Sup, everybody. This is Carrick with ACG, and I'm here with Chris Face, Larsenies, and Lansby Tossen, one of the two. I'm sure I've fucked it up. And we are doing a Patreon podcast. I want to thank these guys for showing up. As Larsenies said prior to starting, it certainly is the evolution of the beard on our side. He's got none. Well, he's got a little bit of one. You got a little bit of one, Larsenies, right? Or is that just a shadow?
It's like I just got haircut like yesterday, so it's like the beginning.
Yeah.
And then out there.
So yeah, it's middle, just like
that guy's the end.
Yep. I think Lance is better than mine though. He's got the I can't do the Anton LaVey tip.
No, but I have an issue with
no hair grown in there.
No, it is, but it's pretty thin, not as mighty as yours. So
so we're going to do Patreon podcast. We're just going to talk about random things. As always, I want to thank everybody who joins us, who listens on Podbean, if that's where this is uploaded, or listens and watches on YouTube, which I feel sad for you because we are almost too pretty for the camera. I don't know if you should watch us. It might be too much.
It's really a curse, honestly.
It's really a curse. I have that issue quite often where I just have to turn the camera off because I'm too pretty. So I'll bring up the first thing and then we'll move on from there. I was talking to some people about offline mode for consoles. So if anybody remembers Xbox One got announced and they were like, you won't be able to play your games offline, blah, 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 blah. And then everybody shat themselves and they removed that. But I personally feel that especially Sony and Microsoft have injected online only subtly anyway. It's like more games I play if I unplug my Xbox, right? No connection. The game will be like, can't play. You know, there'll be some issue with it. And there's a lot of games where it feels like it's online for almost no reason. You know, you're playing a game and you're like, what's the online component here for? Why is this required? And I wanted to know if you guys think that is just a sign of the times, or if you guys believe that the companies are subtly doing it, like, purely out of the desire to do what Xbox originally announced. So, like, Larsenies, when you're playing your Xbox, let's say you lose power, not lose power, but you lose internet, something like that, and does it bother you that the online modes aren't actually that robust for the consoles? Does it bother you at all? Are you cool with it?
Well, I don't have an Xbox, I have PlayStation, but it does happen the same way. Like, you know, sometimes games, except for instance, even single playing games that have zero online, you know, they have updates and sometimes like, oh, you can't play this because of a big update or
right.
You got to play like the old version and, you know, you can't get like something really like important happens, like a big fix. If you don't have internet, then it's like, okay, whatever. If it's like a save corrupt and they fix it, then it's like you play the game. And if that save corrupt happens, it's like, oh shit, I can't update it because, you know, I don't have online. So, you know, that does affect a lot, you know. I think they are trying to slowly manipulate that always online thing without you guys, like, you know, while people noticing. I don't think that's, like, I don't know, I'm not going to say fact, but I think that it's just happening. It's just, like, everything is, like, always has to be online, always has to get updated, something always has to happen that you have the internet for, even if it's just single player forever.
Yeah, for sure. What about you, Lance?
I don't really have any consoles, so the only consoles I have are old consoles, and they go offline.
They're built offline.
They're built offline. They're bred with it. But no, I think it's more of a sign of the times we're in, because everything has to be online all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of developers really want to be able to fix their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
and inject it. So I'm pretty, it feels more like it's a sign of, okay, online is going to be the way they're doing it, but it's going to be a kind of a problem in the long term, because I clearly remember when Sony did the mockery of Xbox mm-hmm. and Microsoft, where it was like, you can always play offline, and
they're full of shit.
That's yeah, they are, but the time has shown that's for sure.
Yeah. What about you, Chris Face?
Yeah, I guess it kind of depends on your country's internet infrastructure as well. Us being so far behind, we're only now moving over to fiber.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still sitting with 10 megabit per second lines. So having to be online is quite troublesome mostly. But I do agree that it's definitely a sign of the times. I mean, if you want to get bug fixes out, You want people to be online. So you can keep your stuff updated. You can, and that's kind of ingrained in the culture now as well, because I can't, if I'm offline off Steam, I get anxious because I know my games are going to be outdated. There might be a fix out or something like that. So it's definitely, everything's moving in that direction. So it's kind of a necessary evil.
Yeah, I think when you look at some games, like we saw the No Man's Sky big save corruption bug, and then they patched that. If you know, for some reason we're playing that, I don't even know if you can play some games offline. I'm trying to think. There are games that just don't work. But if you do have a bug fix out there, and a person doesn't have that patched up, and then they have a bad experience and they review it, you know, like, I mean, the person should be saying that they were offline when they reviewed it, but at the same time, It really doesn't matter too much. I think it is a sign of the times, but I personally believe that when you look at the way the companies were going with the PS3 and Xbox and even the Wii U, you know, well, maybe less so Nintendo, but it feels like it was already the plan, and Sony saw Microsoft's reaction, people reacting to Microsoft, and they were like, fuck that shit, we're not getting involved in that. But then they did it anyway. And it really is done. I think one of the biggest indicators of understanding how much of an issue this is the fact that Forza 4 made such a big deal that it's offline. They in their first presentation, they were like, you can unplug from the net and play this game. So obviously, if developers are using the opposite to mean that it's a big deal, like it's not always online, like a lot of games, they're like, no, this one can be played offline. I think obviously it shows that developers too are looking at it and going, yeah, we need to make sure the game's also released in a workable state too, which is nice. I mean, I'm assuming Forza Horizon 4 will be released in a workable state, because if somebody without internet connection buys it, or somebody who has spotty internet connection, you're going to hear about it. It's not going to take very long before, you know, that. I mean, especially right now, like we can all do a review. You know, just record your face and start fucking talking about the game. What are we going to say, Lance?
But I just wanted to say another thing is right now we're in more or less in a culture where, especially AAA productions, when they come out, most of them are not even entirely done. They have big flaws. They don't have, like, The Crew 2, you cannot play multiplayer. It's kind of weird. And it would be weird if they would not patch it in at a later stage. So for me, it's also everything has to be half done. It's half baked at a lot of for a lot of weird reasons. And I guess that's another reason why I always force the game to be online. It's because, well, if you want to have this game, you have to be online. And then we can fix the stuff that people are going into. And it's kind of crappy as well, because that's the whole ordeal about the reviews. When should you actually review a game?
Yeah, right.
Should you review it now when it comes out, or should everybody just like, nope, we're not going to do anything, only 6 months in or something like that? When is the time? When is it a good way?
You know, I would say this. I would say I have no problem waiting 6 months if they don't charge me for 6 months. But if you say here's a fucking product, but you can't review it, I mean, there'd be a lot of nut kicking going on from me, because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. It's like, oh, buy this car, but you can't tell anybody how it performs for 6 months. It's like, the fact that The Crew doesn't allow you to put together a crew and do PvP is like, that's sort of shocking. So that everybody understands, I'm saying the PvP part. It is shocking. You're just like, whoa, what? This game, it's not even... I mean, and they're like, we're going to patch in the PvP to our multiplayer game later. And you have to sit back and be like, okay, that's not even a bug. That's the major part. Imagine a fighting game without a story. Oh, wait, Street Fighter. But imagine, you know, many other genres like this where they're just missing stuff. One of the things that's been bothering me lately, though, is the end game being missing from a lot of titles. Like, if it doesn't feel like an Empire Strikes Back moment sometimes when I win a game where it's like Han Solo's been frozen, we know what's happening. Instead, many times when I get to the end of a game, it's like to be continued. It just doesn't feel it feels like it's not done. It feels like they never work for a conclusion. They're just
feels like it's a disconnection.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of movie titles and stuff like that. It's just like, okay, we know the next one is coming next year.
Yeah, right. It's like Marvel. And one of the things I have to say as a positive, if you watch the recent Mission Impossible movie, it does an incredible job being self-contained. And in fact, it feels completely different than, let's say, a Marvel movie where every movie is built only to show you the other Marvel movies are coming. Like, that's the reason why those movies exist, is to show that you that another movie is going to come out. So it is pretty enjoyable to see that at least one or two movie studios are understanding it. But moving on from there, Chris Face, we were going to discuss a little bit about different nations having different infrastructure, which you talked about the internet. And you said you guys are still at like 10. You're at 10 up, 10 down right now for your internet.
Well, it's basically one up, 10 down. That's your mid-range at the moment. We're only moving to fiber now, which will give you 200 up, 200 down.
Yeah, see, that's another thing. Like, I mean, it's not even just the infrastructure of the internet, you know, obviously. It's like, you know, the cost of games, all that kind of stuff. Do you find yourself being impacted by that, Chris Face? Do you find yourself, like, not getting a game because you feel that the online requirements are too tough for your infrastructure?
Well, not really. We got, with Steam, it's quite brilliant. We have regional pricing on Steam, and we get it for about 60% the price that the US pays.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be happy about that. So, but I guess moving over to fiber now, only now, I'm still waiting for my fiber modem to show up. So I'll probably only get it in a month or so. But, I mean, it takes 2 days to download a game. And if it's a big update, you have to wait 2 days as well. You can't even play it. So it's just one of those things. I mean, we see how the US plays, and then I'm in all these Discords and somebody's like, oh, it's only 5 minutes and I can play the game. So I check my Steam. It's 48 hours still left because the game's 100 gigs. So there's a little tinge of jealousy there for the other countries that have this. Then they post their speed test results and it's a terabyte up and down. And you just die. You just die inside.
What about you, Lance, where you are? Is the internet, I don't know the infrastructure where you are. Is it pretty good?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good because, well, first of all, a lot of our infrastructure is actually built around the government. So the government decides, okay, we have to have this, this, and this, and then we have these semi-private, semi-governmental entities who are licensed to like build in. So we have a pretty good all around internet. I have a 4040, and that's my choice because it's in the price range. But I could go for 300 up, 300 down, and 30 up for a more price. But still, it's pretty good.
So you're never affected by a game. So when they say, Forza 4 is going to be 200 gigs or whatever, you're just like,
no, it's fine. It's fine by me because we don't have any limits at all. I don't think in Denmark there's any, it's only our mobile who has like a data cap.
Right.
We don't have data caps on anything here because there has been such a good competition between all kinds of different companies. So it was like, well, we removed data caps and everybody had to remove the data caps.
Oh, that makes
sense. So for that, it's pretty reasonable. And I know what they're trying to get out now is like one terabyte up and down for 90% of the country. So it's everybody's going for, okay, we need a good infrastructure. But that's also because both Google and Facebook are planning to have like data centers in the country, and Denmark, just to paint a picture of the size, Denmark is not that big, so it's like, I don't know what I can compare it to. It's like half of Ireland or something like that. It's not very big.
Gotcha.
So.
What about you, Larson? Yeah. Like, what are you noticing in New York? Do you have caps, by the way?
I'm not really too sure to know if there's any caps. Like, The only thing with us, like I said, I feel bad complaining. Like, oh, when I download games, like, oh, 3 hours. This guy got to wait like 2 days. Like,
right.
Okay, that's not that bad no more. You know, 3 hours sound like a blessing now, but aside from that, like, this, the only thing like with us is this space. Like with the hardware they give us is like usually sometimes, especially with the games they're going out now, is like everything's like, oh, 50 gigs to install base. Like now they're just pretty much literally getting bigger. They're not getting smaller.
Yeah.
Unless it's like indie titles, but it is clogging up more space. So I think that's more the issue than this downloading thing.
It is funny because we have caps. And so it's like I finally got on a cap list because of the games I review. It was like it was becoming ridiculously expensive. Like I've posted what I was paying before in the Discord. And people are like, the what? I mean, it was insane. And, you know, a cap list costs a lot more because they can say, oh, you know, we want more money from you for doing that. But it is funny when you look at like speeds and how it does affect somebody, because if somebody's got a 10 up or 10 or 1 up 10 down, I mean, that personally would affect my purchasing decisions by a good amount, because a lot of the online games, I think I would be like, eh. Or you see like, I can't remember if it was God of War. I can't remember, but there was a game where nobody expected it to be big. And then they posted, well, look at Halo Wars 2. I think Halo Wars 2, if I remember right, it's 120 gigs or so. It was so massive. And I remember people just being like,
Gears of War 4?
Was it? Maybe that's it was Gears of War 4.
Gears of War 4 was 120. And I looked at it and it was like, oh, I'm going to play this. And it just was just like, nope, I'm not going to
Chris
do that.
Face is just now getting the game. He's just, as of today,
he pre-ordered it and started downloading.
Since the moment it was available. It's just now available. We're being asked a question, and this fits with something we spoke about right before we started the podcast. The funkiest man you've ever seen on Twitter said, how do you feel about Gran Turismo Sport adding microtransactions? Well, Forza Motorsport's getting rid of them. Do you think this was planned all along? Do you think it's fair to consumers that paid for a premium game without a pay-to-win element? So just so everybody knows, they did switch it over. Not switch it over, but they did add the ability for you to buy cars with real money. And that was just an ad in the last day, I guess. Is anybody...
It was... studied on it this morning, and from what I'm getting, it's only the cheap cars which you buy with money. Mm-hmm. So the big expensive good cars and all that, they are not a pay to win element. But still, I don't like the whole idea of actually locking stuff behind a paywall, even mm-hmm. though you can earn it in game, because at that time when you start to charge money and you have to earn money in the game, the whole balance would be skewed from my perspective anyway. But I haven't seen exactly how it actually works out and what the, I think it's like $5 or something like that, the cars cost.
Yeah, anywhere, it says anywhere from 99 cents for the cheapest Kia and hatchbacks to $2.99 for racing cars. It's roughly 400 in microtransactions if you wanted to buy everything. The one thing I will mention, I personally believe, is that we now know that Gran Turismo Sport is by far the worst selling of the Gran Turismo games, by the main games, at least, by a large amount. So to me, I'm just saying what it feels like to me is it feels like a company that's like, okay, this didn't work. Like, it's not grabbing people. Let's go ahead and just, if it's going to make some residual money, let's do it and put it up there. And that's sort of what happened.
It feels like they want to minimize the loss
yeah,
in some way, you could say.
Exactly.
Even though it's from an ethical standpoint, it's not a good thing to do. But
Chris Face, does these things bother you?
Well, with our currency being as crappy as it is, it definitely does. The problem I have normally with something like this is if you have to pay for the game and then pay for something in the game again, that's where I draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't happen. Give the game for free and then let it live on microtransactions. A lot of games have done this, and the developers say they make more money of that business model than charging upfront. So I wouldn't exactly have a problem with it, but it has to be implemented correctly. Like charging money for something and then charging again, that's shady business practice in my eyes.
Yeah, for sure. What about you, Larceny? Yeah.
I agree. If it's not like a DLC, like, oh, these cars, you just can't get it because they're not out. Like, mm-hmm. These are like unlocked cars, like literally, but you're not getting them. You're just unlocking them so that way you can just get them later in the future, then I'm okay. But if it's like you can just, these cars are already in the game, that puts a sour taste in my mouth. I don't know. I think they should do like a better way of just implementing it. Maybe like instead of you paying for it, maybe they should just like, you get them towards doing like certain challenges in the game, like, oh, do this and you can get this car, or like do this in this certain time and you get this car, like, you know, kind of like that, instead of just, hey, pay $5 to get like, you know, a mediocre car or even a fast car. Like, I think that's kind of unfair for people that even want to play Gran Turismo Sport, if there's any, but like if, for people that want to get certain cars, I think they should just do like challenges to get them instead of just paying money for it. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, and it really does suck when it changes halfway through, and if a company is going to do it up front, I'm not a big fan, but at least there's that sort of chosen route, and you can make that decision on your own. Now, somebody going into like a store and getting a game or getting a game used, there's two weird pricing schemes they're suddenly involved with that you weren't. There's just different oddities. I understand why they did it. That doesn't mean I agree with it. I don't like the idea of adding microtransactions later in any way. If it is something brand new, like a DLC, that, you know, if it's like an expansion, as we used to call them in the old days, I'm totally fine with that. But there are no real expansions anymore. Like when you really look at games, there's very few expansions. There's some, but there's not a ton. It's usually just piecemeal, which I hate. Instead, I'd rather have it be like Shivering Isles for an Elder Scrolls game, where it's like, here's a big fucking expansion, and here's
Dragon Age when they used to do it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What were you gonna say, Lance?
Oh yeah. No. I just agree with the whole expansion thing because, well, you could say even though World of Warcraft calls themselves all of the new stuff they come, they call it an expansion, but it is actually a new game.
Yeah.
it's an iteration of the same game. They just did not choose to say one, two.
Right. And then Larceny's, you were going to read 2018 August games. You said you had a list.
Yeah, that you do. I'm going to start for today because I don't know if anyone know, but the game came out today for like, I think it's an indie game. It's called Chasm.
Yeah.
That just came out today. It's like a Metroidvania pixel art, but you can like kind of play it like over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like in the, it's you know, like randomly generated maps. So you, like it's always going to switch like how everything is, but like it's kind of like Dead Cells. Like when you get certain abilities, they stick with you.
Yeah,
but the map changes.
Right.
So it's kind of like that kind of concept. I thought that I was looking into the game. The game looks kind of cool. So hopefully that does really good. I'll probably break it down later today in my channel. But for today, for August 1st is Yakuza 0 for Windows PC. August 2nd is This is the Police 2. I think you reviewed that one, Kerry, right?
Yeah. We can skip that one.
August 3rd is WarioWare Gold for the 3DS.
Mm.
It's kind of weird. They're still making 3DS games.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? Their support's insane.
No, but I'm saying, you think it'd be smarter to just do 3DS and Switch, or you think they'll cannibalize the 3DS sales?
Well, you could say they did promise they didn't want to sack the 3DS when the Switch came out.
Yeah, they did.
So I know it's Nintendo, so you shouldn't listen to everything they promised, but still, it's amazing.
August 7th, two games are pretty good. Dead Cells, which has come out early access, and Overcooked 2. So those are two good games right there. Pretty fun.
Hey, Chris Face, do you have a Switch or a DS or anything?
No, I don't.
Are those kind of games your kind of thing at all? Or you just not into them at all? You're more of a Steam person? Like a PC?
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, I'm more of a PC person.
Go for it, Larceny.
Okay. You guys, so you guys don't do like mobile gaming out there? So, because the Switch would be good for like taking out on the go, or no?
We do some mobile gaming, but still, it again, it's a
cost. It sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. The Switch is quite expensive here. It's cheaper to buy a PS4 Pro.
Jesus, right?
Yes. What?
I'm serious.
That's insane. See, yeah. A lot of people have asked in the past, like, well, why do you do the international podcast if, like, those guys aren't other YouTubers or what have you? But it's like, that's why I get people on from other nations. Because it's like, you find out shit like that, and you're all, no wonder. You know, sometimes you get in that thing, why don't you have a Switch? Why don't you just have a Switch? Like, it sounds so easy. It's like they magically come out of eggs or something. You're just like, why don't you just have a Switch? And then he's like, well, why don't I just have a PS4 Pro? And you're like, okay, well, that puts it in perspective. That's for sure. That's insane. Go ahead, Larsonies.
That was really interesting, too, though. Layton's Mystery Journey for the Switch. Monster Hunter World for PC coming out on August 9th. Okami for the Switch. And Yakuza 3 for PS4 August 9th. And for the Sports Heads, August 10th, Madden 2019. And We Happy Few, which I'm still surprised is coming out. They're sticking to that date.
Yeah. Does anybody else, though... You're reading a lot of Switch games, which I think is awesome. But
that's always how it is. And Thursdays, there's always a whole bunch of indie games that's coming up for Switch.
Yeah, it's just cool to see. It's just cool to see that support. Go ahead.
I think the Switch is just, they're just trying to make it an indie machine slash games you can just take on the go. So August 14th, Death Gamble for PC and PS4. The Walking Dead, the final season, episode 1. For Steam, PS4, and Xbox One, and the World of Warcraft for PC. August 15th for State of Mind, which I never heard of, but hopefully it sounds interesting. August 21st is Shenmue 1 and 2 for almost all systems but Switch. August 23rd is My Hero 1 Justice. I'm so used to not reading that wrong. That's weird. August 24th is... F1 2018 and Little Dragon Cafe for the Switch and PS4. August 28th is Blade Strangers, PC, Switch, and PS4.
Blade Strangers?
That's literally what it says.
That sounds like some emo game where you cut each other.
That's why when I read it out loud, I was like, did I say this right?
Yeah, that's weird. Like, hey, man, instead of Perfect Strangers with Balky, you're like, no, it's Blade Strangers, man. It's a bunch of goths cutting each other.
Looks like a fighting game. Anime.
Oh, fighting game. I'm sure then if it is and it has a following, I'm going to be attacked right now. People will be like, I can't believe you don't know this fucking thing.
The game I've been waiting for. He cursed it. Damn. Yeah.
There's ladies without any cloth on. And stuff
yes.
Like that.
Okay. So. I'm putting that on the buy list. All right. Continue.
The Blob 2 remaster for the Switch. Monster Hunter Generation Ultimate for the Switch. I'm really interested to see how that looks. Pro Evolution Soccer 2019 for Steam, PS4, and Xbox One. Strange Brigade for Steam, PS4, and Xbox One. Victor Von Overkill Edition for the Switch. Yakuza Kimwa 2 for the PS4. I'm not sure what the hell that is. And Naruto to Boruto Strikers. Shinobis for the Switch, PS4, and Xbox One.
It's pretty crazy. Also, oh, go ahead.
No, sorry. They didn't mention it, but it is coming out for the end of August. It's not a new game, but it's a game that came out for PC. Divinity Original Sin 2 is coming out for PS4 and Xbox One.
Well,
I definitely think people should play that.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say also Forsaken came out today. Now, if you're an old fan of like Unreal Tournament and that kind of stuff, Forsaken was one of those titles that came out years and years ago, and they remastered it, I guess you could call it. It's not getting the best. Oh no, sorry, I saw a different one. I thought that was its reviews. I'm gonna check right now to see when that comes out. It comes out today, I think. And Forsaken was one of those 6 degrees of freedom games. You were like on hover ships shooting each other. I'm a big fan of those kind of games. So yeah, there's and that list didn't even have it didn't have that on there at all. So it's like
I think it's because it came out literally this month. Like, cause like I said, Chasm wasn't there. I just thought to bring it up. But
yeah,
I think games like literally come out the end of the month will be in July. But any games that I mentioned that anyone's interested in? I'm curious.
Chris Face, Any of those?
No, not really.
Really? Are you? Do you not buy a bunch of games? Obviously, because the money thing, or do you just? Are you an older gamer where you play like the old games, or what do you do?
I'm definitely the one that plays the older games more. I do buy here and there. It depends. It depends on the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the last one would be Jurassic World.
Oh, gotcha. What'd you think of that?
Well, it was kind of what I expected. I mean, they marketed it as a tycoon game. So what it's advertised to do, it does great. I really like the animations and everything. So it looked like the movie, but it's a typical tycoon game. So what more is there to say, really? It's, if you like a tycoon game, you'll probably like it. If you don't like it, then stay away. Don't buy it because it's got dinos, because you're going to get bored really fast.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it doesn't do anything to reach out to new gamers. It's just like, this is what it is, which is fine. What about you, Lansby? Any of those games that he announced? Who the hell's got the police officers?
I think it's... is that New York? Yeah, it is.
Oh, is that larceny? Oh, okay, I thought it was. Yeah, I thought it was yours.
I was trying to mute myself, but I didn't know how to.
No, that's all right. Lance, do you got any games on that list that you like?
I'm not sure what Monster Hunter World I've been looking at for a while, just to. But I'm so reluctant about the game purely because I need to know if the port is good,
right?
Because if it's a shit port, then it really doesn't matter for me. I would say I don't want it to go all Arkham Knight in it, but it sounds like it's going to be an okay port, as far as I know.
Yeah, it's August is lean, man. August is, I don't know, like you have Monster Hunter, which I think is going to dominate most of the vids and people talking, but it comes out so early, and then you start looking at some of the other stuff, and there isn't really any big grabbers.
No, I'm still also looking for to see if, because I'm an old World of Warcraft player, so I'm still like, okay, should I go for the new expansion or not? So I have to see if I relapse into my addiction or whatever. How it's going to be, but that's more, I think it's more or less what it is, because I'm a solely PC player, so I cannot go into a lot of the what's called the Switch and the PS4,
right,
and the Xbox games, even though My Hero Wants Justice actually looks quite fun as a fighting game, as a 3D fighting game. But that's, I think that's it.
Larceny's wanted to discuss, should a time limit be imposed on early access?
Yeah, because, like I said, for instance, Dead Cells was in early access a year ago. I did breakdown on it, and it's literally coming out now in August 7th. So, like, you know, you think there should be like a time limit for early access games? Because this game's still in early access that hasn't been released to today.
I do. I mean, I just do. I like, to me, I'm blown away that there isn't a refund program. That's like, if your game's in early access, maybe you can choose a tiers. It's like, if you missed your tier, if you're tier one and you miss by 6 months, everybody gets 20% of their money back. Or, I mean, at some point, it's going to have to happen, because we have games that are in early access for 4.5 years. There's something. And we're not talking about like a kickstarted off to the side game like a Star Citizen. We're talking about games legitimately on Steam right now.
Yeah.
And
well,
yeah, go
for it. What's like a proper time limit though? Like a year, maybe two?
I would say like characters, tiers or something like that. Something like this is going to be the different stepping stones.
Can you mute that, Larceny? Can you mute that for a little bit? There we go.
So the whole stepping stone, it would be great to have, because games like Slay the Spire and Dead Cells are actually games which are being developed pretty fast compared to what's out there. Because Slay the Spire, I think it went into early access in December, I think it was.
Yeah, that's a good game.
And yeah, it's a really good game. That's I've had like 150 hours in it right now or something like that. But it's still it's
don't you have kids and shit? Don't you have kids and shit? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you just are you just like hiring babysitters?
When
you have 150 hours, man. Something's wrong with
you.
Yeah. Just joking.
Oh, but it's one of the that game is one of those games where you can just sit down and like, okay, I'm going to play for an hour. One game, that's 1 hour, and then just go. But they have done a lot of stuff all the way, and they keep on doing weekly updates, and they keep on telling people what the updates are about and all of that shit. A lot of early access games don't really do that.
Yeah, what about you, Chris Face?
That's the problem.
What do you think overall? Do you think there should be a time limit?
I want to say yes, but if you look at what's it, Subnautica, how long was that in early access? And it actually finally released.
Around 2 years,
it was,
I think,
a good product.
Yeah.
So I do feel there should be some form of a limit. Maybe if you don't have any substantial updates in, let's say, 3 months, then you should start getting penalized.
At least you don't maybe communicate with your community. Yeah. Something.
Go ahead.
No, if you can say ahead of time, listen, this is going to take us 4 years to develop, that's fine. But then you have to have some kind of a roadmap to say in 3 months, mm-hmm. we'll reach this point, and in 2 years we'll reach this point. And then you should get penalized according to that.
Yeah, I mean, I do like the idea of a tiered system of some kind, or a full-on just fucking time limit. I don't like early access at all. I've been pretty open about it. I'll review a game because an early access game can still be fun and can still be worth the $12.99 they charge, $9.99, $5.99. But I don't like the system itself. I don't think here's the problem. We're burning the candle at both ends and somehow also burning it in the middle now in gaming. You have games that aren't done, microtransactions. Games that are done, that are day one, microtransactions. Then they're selling you a DLC later. Then they're doing this, then they're doing that. And they're not completely done. And there's no PvP in the crew. And now there's also early access. So it's like the game that you think will be done in 3 years may be done, but it may not actually have PvP. Like, there's so many problems right now in gaming. It's happening at both ends. The initial release and then the later release. And then if it is released, you have no clue what's going to happen when it is released. Like, is there going to be a bunch of DLC cars? So it's becoming, to me, like, at some point the industry has to sort of be like, okay, can't fuck everybody over on every side. Like, there's got to be some way around it. And to me, early access is almost easier to kill than microtransactions. Because it seems to me like early access was purely created when Steam allowed it. Like, no other that I know of, like, software front ends were saying, hey, if your game's not done, you can still sell it. I mean, use Kickstarter for that, right? Use those other crowdfunding sources that are available for that, I think. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just think that the whole early access, I think it was when it got started, it was like after Kickstarter went out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's more like a response to Kickstarter that they actually made it than it was something. But the problem is, when you look at it, it's, for me, it's like the problem is more Steam as a platform, because there's no curation, there's nobody who actually takes any responsibility,
right,
about anything on that platform,
right?
So when you I do believe that an early access could be really good for a game, because if it's a game which are user driven, so you have a bunch of guys who really wants to make this game, but they really don't know what to do with the game, but they have a lot of people coming in and giving a lot of input, mm-hmm. for the game, and then it can be like a co-creation. I see that as a really good thing. But when you have something like Steam, where it's like, oh, you here, pay us $100, and you can just put whatever you want on this platform, because that's basically what it is. And that's the same for the early access, you could say. It's just like there's no responsibility anywhere. So it's kind of weird in that regard.
Yeah, I hope it goes away, but I'm sure it never will. Once these systems are in place, I mean, how often, if ever, have we ever seen a system magically go away? Like, once it's been allowed, it's hard to say, well, you can't do it. You know, this person did it, but you can't. I don't think it'll ever go away.
The gaming community really has to do a backlash on it, just like the loot boxes. Right now, we have seen, like, okay, they're momentarily gone. They're coming back, that's for sure. But the loot boxes are not that dominant. And
speaking of that, Chris, do you guys have the loot boxes? Do you guys have like consumer laws there in South Africa? Like,
not in the sense with loot boxes like being gambling and that stuff. No, no, that's, I think it just falls under your electronic purchases.
Oh, gotcha.
Only recently did our VAT come in, our value added tax on that. So. No, there's no laws preventing anything like that. Yeah.
So, everybody, go to South Africa, steal your parents' credit card, buy some shit. That's what he's saying. Moving on from there, let's discuss a little bit about crypto mining in Steam games. So this was brought up by Lance Batossen because it snuck into a game and it took a while for anybody to figure it out, right?
Well, as far as I know, it actually was a game which were on Steam since March. They removed it yesterday or today. Today or yesterday, I can't remember. But it had crypto mining stuff in it. So when you played this game, it was a lousy game, by the way. But when you played it, when it was open, it would start mining for the guys who developed the game, and the whole game was set up like it was not, as I said, it was not a good game because it was actually just an achievement hunter and a grinding game for purchases. It had a lot of weird stuff in it. Besides that, it also had like I think it was like skins from Team Fortress 2. Some of the really expensive skins, so they tried to like sell it to people who were playing Team Fortress 2 and scam them from I think it was 800 bucks or something like that. So that kind of game is something that should never be allowed on the platform,
right? But there's no curation
anyway. Yeah, exactly.
There's nobody checking like that.
It's the retrospect. So when I think it was Sid Alpha when he wrote to what is his name to Wolf, it was like, oh, we're going to remove it now, and then it was gone. But before that, nobody noticed, and that's the scary part.
It is a very scary part. I mean, there is no curation on Steam. It's like the only thing they really check for is viruses, and I would assume at some point in the history of Steam, that's even fucked up and somebody's got a virus from the game. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. I don't think anybody here really disagrees with the fact that they should never be in a game, right? Like, I don't think, yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody here is gonna pimp for a crypto miner to be in a game. No. I will say, and this is me applauding, bravo, because their ingenuity is masterful. When you figure out how to do that, bravo. I don't like that it took over anybody's PCs, but what I'm saying is, criminals always intrigue me because they come up with some of the most fantastic ways to grift people. And you're just like, wow, you got that in there. It went on for a month or so, maybe more, and no one noticed. You know, that's the type of person I'd hire for the FBI to help me hack other people's shit. It is crazy when you think about it. And it's a good lesson to be learned because people need to start holding Steam, Ubisoft, you know, any of these EA does indie games. Because a AAA game probably won't have it, right? We say probably, but so far. Oh, can you imagine that? For Honor. Yeah. For Honor's crypto miner fucking add-on. But I think that it's time to hold them accountable. Nobody, and I'm going to be brutally honest, I feel that the reason why people don't hold Steam accountable is the deals, the sales. People have a tendency, it's like an abusive relationship. They hit me because they love me. And it's not true. And what happens is those good salespeople see those and are like, shucky darns, they did this one thing, but you know what? I can save myself 90% of the purchase of a game, so I'm going to continue buying from there. And that's the way it goes. You always have to decide the positive and negative of something, and I don't think anybody's going to hold Steam accountable. They got one CSR, I think, handling every tech issue. Like, you'll put in a tech issue, it'll be 2 years, and they'll finally respond. They'll be like, oh, yeah, that does actually happen on your account. You're right. I'll fix it. It's like some week.
Would you like to promote your product, service, or event on this podcast and others like it? Podcast advertising is a cost-effective way to advertise. Research shows a high rate of podcast listeners made a purchase as a result of an advertisement they heard on a podcast. Visit podbean.com/free100 to launch a successful podcast advertising campaign and get $100 of free ad credits. That's podbean.com/free100.
Smokers, the only CSR at fucking Valve, just going like, oh, I'm gonna answer some fucking tickets today. They don't have support. They're like YouTube, right? YouTube got away for how long without having, you know, the number of employees for support? And just now, by the way, they're saying, oh, we should probably do that. The fuck? I'm pretty sure a newborn would have figured that out before them. So I'm not quite sure how all that happened. Moving on from them, let's talk a little bit about Lands had asked the question, when is too much info and when is too little info when it comes to game releases? So you get these trailers, you get these breakdowns, you get these previews, you get IGN first, you get all this crazy shit. And the question is it too much? Does it burn out? Do people start being turned off by seeing any? Does it bother people? Like, what do you guys think? Do you think it's at a proper limit now? Do you think there's oversaturation for game coverage? Do you think there's not enough and you want more? Anybody can go. Chris Face, how about you go? You haven't said much.
I don't even... It's difficult to say if it's oversaturated. Some games, let's take No Man's Sky for an example, that was completely oversaturated. Everybody thought we're getting the best game ever mm-hmm. designed.
Right.
And then it was a complete flop. So... It's like he says, when's too much? And what kind of info are you supposed to give people? Should they rather focus on the technical aspects? Should they only focus on the graphics or the cinematics? So what do we need? I don't know if anybody can comment on that. I mean, what should they give us mm-hmm. before the release? What should we be getting excited about?
I guess it really depends on the game, honestly, don't you think? Like, say for instance, like for example, Spider-Man comes out in September. That's like a AAA game made by Insomniac. They already I heard a lot of podcasts already saying like, you know, we don't want to see no more. Like they already showed already too much. They should just show one last hurrah trailer and that's it. Like nothing else. Like they just want to keep in the dark. But like I guess like maybe like an indie or double A game, maybe they should show maybe a tad more because you know people don't know that title as much. Like, same, for instance, like a Vampyr or Chasm or something like that.
Right.
They should show a little bit more information because, you know, people don't know this game. So they, oh, here's a trailer, like, maybe once every, like, month. Like, oh, here's something cool you can do in this game and, you know, come support us. And but, like, you know, a big AAA game, you know, that you already know is going to sell a few millions.
Right.
You know, that sells alone, like, word of mouth, too, as well. So, you know, you don't need to... do always show something too much.
What about you, Lance?
Larsenis? How is it pronounced? Okay, thank you. As you say, it really depends on what kind of game are we actually talking about. Mm. Because something like Spyro, it's like, well, we already know the game. It's not like it's going to be a huge surprise for what kind of game
that would be, though. But if it was, you get it, and it's like a fucking puzzle game with a Kinect attached.
Fuck.
You're like, no, what the fuck? Flap your wings, dude. Flap your fucking wings as hard as possible.
I thought it was a dragon.
Continue,
no,
sorry.
No, but yeah, no problem. It's more just, it should be what is the premises for the game, because when Spyro comes out, what I would be intrigued about it is, okay, how does it look graphically and how does it actually act out? How does it work? So is it still just being as it was, or have they done something to either improve it or not? What have they done to the game in a remaster? But something like, for example, for example, Anthem, which everybody is like all freaking out of because it's just like, oh, how is Anthem going to be? They have really not said anything about any storyline or story, anything in it. And everybody is expecting it's going to be, okay, you need to do a story because you're BioWare, even though it's not BioWare, if you understand what I mean. It's BioWare by name, but the people in it, it's not the people from the original BioWare. So you really have to be careful about what are the expectations. And you have to, for me, it's like they have to anticipate what will the expectation be and try to meet them. Because No Man's Sky, for example, they didn't meet anything. They just went out there without trying to do some damage control. And they more or less did it again this time, right? Because I kind of remember what the issue was. There was some issue with the new update for No Man's Sky, wasn't there?
Well, there was a save game corruption.
Oh, yeah, but... I guess that's not something. Oh no, it was it didn't come on GOG.
Oh, is that what it was?
Kind of weird.
Yes.
It's kind of weird when you're saying it's coming out and they don't. Oh, by the way, it's not coming on GOG right now. So it's that kind of information is useful. It's nice to know instead of all of the it's going to be like this and this and this and that.
Could I sue my GOG? Opinion. Because GOG gave reviews, refunds 2 years after sale. Kudos to them.
Yeah. Yeah, for
okay,
me...
Okay, I got... just a second. I have to go for a second. I got a riot in my kid's room. I can hear.
Okay. You know why? You know why? Because he's spending 150 hours on a fucking game. And he's not taking care of his children. I'm just joking. Somebody's going to be like, report that guy. Yeah, I don't know where I sort of sit on all of that. It's sort of odd because when you look at coverage for games, how much is too much is really also in the eye of the beholder, because I'm not, for example, I love spoilers. It's weird and I know that, but I absolutely adore spoilers. I adore spoilers for movies, for TV shows. I love them. And I seek them out, and I know some people want no data. But it is weird to me that people want to control everybody else. If somebody, for example, if somebody says, I want no data, they'll get mad in a forum if somebody simply says an actor's name who's doing, you know, voice work. And they're like, I can't believe it, spoiler! It's like, well, really, I mean, spoilers at some point become any data whatsoever about a game. So you have that far aspect, then you have me on the other end, liking it to have as much data as possible. I think it does depend on the game, but it also depends on the amount, guys, the PR company. How much money do they have to cover it? So while I would like a AA game to have more coverage, like a Vampyr, I'm pretty sure Focus did what they could with the money they had. You know, they don't have the money to cut another trailer. They don't have the money. You know, I know a lot of people would be like, dude, you could cut a trailer with some footage on a YouTube channel. Why couldn't they? I get that, but you have to pull people off of the job to do that. And I'm assuming that's why we don't see it for some. But you get companies like No Man or games like No Man's Sky where they say one thing and then it's another. Fable is the Fable series is a series that many people. Yeah, as Chris faces, yeah, and the moment I mention it. But you get those issues where too much data was given and then your expectations go too high. For me, if I was a PR person, I would just sit and really look at expectations. And if they're going too high, if I'm seeing indicators that people are like, oh, there's blah, 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 then I would make sure to just pull back a little bit or release a clarification or what have you. A lot of times... this mystery shit is what they're selling you, though, guys. They're selling you the mystery, and that bothers me. It bothers me when they're like, you know, there's this, and it's a hint. And you can spend... Oh, it's almost like a movie trailer where they try to switch it so it looks like the bad guy's a good guy for a second or some weird thing happens. You get in the movie, none of that happens. Mm-hmm. But with trailers, they just sort of blurt shit out. And you can get 10 trailers on Red Dead, or you can get 2. It just all depends. But there can be so much data. I get why people don't like it. But to me... I think most of it is money. I mean, that's a lot of money because you have to, you know, get everybody on board. You have to make those trailers. You have to do those things. And I think sometimes mystery is good, but a game like Vampyr probably could have done better with one or two. trailers. I certainly do think that there's some games out there that could certainly do with some more data. But it's hard, right? Each game probably is its own thing. It's probably too difficult to put a line in the sand. It's not like early access where you can say this is terrible. It's at least I'm saying that. I'm saying this is terrible. Does anybody else have anything else to add before I jump into a little bit of gaming news? We can discuss that. Anybody? All right. So, God of War. I want to know how this is possible. God of War. This is the fucking announcement. God of War significantly exceeded Sony's expectations and sales. So, my question is, are the monkeys that are running Sony so poor with numbers that they couldn't figure out that was going to sell insanely well? I purely think that's a PR blurb. I think it's a complete lie because these companies, they do know, and it's a phenomenal game. It's an amazing game. But people knew that going into it. It surprises me that they're surprised. Go ahead, Larson. What were you going to say?
No, I said, like, God of War is a great game. I played it and I beat it. It's phenomenal. I love it. But I just think that maybe they did have some, like, oh, this game is going to be really good. But off the strength of the name God of War, you know, people might think of, like, the old Kratos and how it was, like,
yeah,
him, one-man army, angry, you know, no story practically, and he's just destroying everything. Maybe they thought that bad taste of the old Kratos was going to leave, you know, affect this game. Maybe that's why they said they sold more than they expected. They probably was like, oh, we'll say, like, you know, this much. And then when people play, like, oh, this shit is crazy. And then they go, oh, you know, but
I hope there's a review out there, though, Larsenies, that says this shit is crazy. Like, there's no score. It's just God of War. It's a dude going, this shit's crazy. And that's
it. That could be a new tier now.
That,
like,
could be.
Instead of buy, you could be like, this shit's crazy.
This shit's crazy, man. Yeah, buy, wait for sale, rent, never touch. This shit's crazy. But I would have given that to Gene Rain as well in the negative end. This shit's crazy. How did this ever get released? But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to me when you see this. You see Sony releasing Spider-Man coming up. It's going to be very interesting afterwards if they're surprised. Because come on. Look at the feedback for Spider-Man, right?
Yeah. I guess it's also about coming from the talk of expectations. God of War is from a different era of gaming,
yeah,
you could say. Gaming today is mainstream. From when God of War came out, it was still a niche.
Yeah.
So people don't know the franchise. A lot of people don't know the franchise, like a lot of other. I've never played any of the games because I've never really had a console. So that's more or less, but I know the game. I know what game it is, and I know what people who gamed at that time thought of it, just like Red Dead Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe they got surprised as well because it hit something in the gaming culture, which are right now, because what is it called? Horizon Zero Dawn? Yeah, that's the game. They also got pretty surprised of how well it was received compared to what they actually thought, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
So maybe it has something to do with that.
I think they're full of shit.
Expectations of...
Sorry.
They're full of shit, but not Sony.
They're full of shit. They're full of shit, man. Sorry. Like, I mean, oh. I don't know.
They've released Life of Black Tiger.
Well, that is true. Maybe the same financial people.
And that's an exclusive.
Maybe the same financial people working there are the ones who worked on Capcom and tried to say that, like, I don't know, Resident Evil 7 needed to sell, like, I can't remember, like 9 million units to break even. And the first thing you want to do is be like, okay, guys, you need not English professors for your mathematicians. You obviously have a problem with your mathematics over there. 2 + 2 always equals 4. At least when we're doing financial shit, fix that. Because sometimes you get these and you're just like, whoa, what the fuck is happening here? So, yeah, I don't know. It's an odd situation right now. I just found that very... It seems to me like a lot of times they play into gamers' mentality of, like, you know, the fake humble. Fake humble bothers the fuck out of me. Fumble, where they're like, man, we didn't know people loved it despite our giant PR buzz. And despite huge
stand-up
pre-sales, just be like, yeah, bitch, we knew it was good. I want to see somebody just be like,
we told everybody.
This shit's crazy. And just put their hands up. I want to see the developer just walk out and be like, this is crazy. And that's it. And you're all, okay. All right, yeah. Man. A thumbs up.
Drop the mic.
Yeah. And just walk off and be all, that's, I hope somebody does that in E3 stage. Just shows some video and just be like, this is crazy. Turns around and walks off. So looking at some of the other news, there isn't a huge amount here. There is a game called This is the Police 2 that was released, which you can watch my review on. I do want to talk about these sim games. We're starting, you know, you go onto Steam, you log in, there's 8,000 sim games. And I saw one yesterday that looks as bad as a game can look if a game looked like it was not programmed at all. And it's called Sim University. And I'm telling you, if you're listening, go to Steam right now and look up Sim University and tell me that does not look like something someone programmed in 37 minutes. It is the craziest thing ever. Well, maybe 38, but I don't want to go too far here. It looks horrible. And so what I want to talk about is when you look at Sim games, I'm a big fan of Sim games. Lance got Jurassic Park. Chris Face got Jurassic Park. We like those kind of games.
Oh, no, I don't have it, unfortunately.
Oh, you don't have it. I wanted it. You wanted it.
But, yeah.
So, but you like them. Do graphics matter? It sounded like Chris was saying, at least with Jurassic Park, the graphics really did elevate that title a little bit for him. Are graphics that big of a deal to you, Chris, when it comes to a simulation game?
I wouldn't. That's a difficult one as well. There needs to be a balance. I don't care too much about graphics normally because I normally play retro games, but animations make a game for me. So if it can look like Minecraft, but if the animations look realistic, that I will play the shit out of that game because that makes it. Animation quality really does it for me. So I wouldn't say your graphics does matter. People say, no, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter. Everybody needs something to look at. So, yeah, but there needs to be a balance. I think Jurassic World did a great job. It looks great. It animates great. It plays like a tycoon. It's difficult. I'm not going to say it plays great because some people won't like it. I know some people don't. But it was a lot of fun for me. And looking at other games, yeah, definitely. There is some importance on the graphic side, but for me personally, it's animations. Man. Animations make it for me.
That makes sense. And by the way, it's University Tycoon 2019. Check it out. Wow. What about you, Larsenies? Are you? Yeah, I got the name wrong because my brain didn't care about it. So, Larsenies, what do you think when it comes to? It doesn't sound like you're a big Sim fan, but.
The last simulation game I played was a Planet Coaster, which is the people that's made on Jurassic World.
Jurassic game. Planet Coaster isn't too old. Would you say that in sim games, do those things matter, or do you sort of take it more as a that's the style of game and it doesn't matter as much? Or are you a big fan of like whether it be animations or just the art style?
Well, art style is always important because, like I said, like when you're making those, especially like depending on what it is, it's a park. A theme park or something like that. You want it to look nice to look at it. It's like, oh yeah, I made that, and that looks really good in general. And you know, obviously, you want it to flow well with and make sure like everything's smooth and steady. So I think it's like visually, it does matter in a sense. Like I don't think a pixel art simulation game will be as good as I would love to see like a 2D or like a Blaze Blue looking shell shaded like sim games. I would love to see how one of those look and see how that will run.
The reason why I bring this up is because you have This is the Police 2 and This is the Police 1. This is the Police 1's graphics were a good step down compared to 2. 2's graphics elevated a great deal above 1's, and yet the game it's nowhere near as good. And so the reason why I was picking on that is because, especially with sim games where you can run at 60 FPS, but you're doing different things. It's not first person shooter and you're running around gibbing people and shit. Like, what does matter to people? To me, I will say, I asked this question in Discord a couple days ago, like, does art style matter? You know, what type of graphics do you like? Cel shaded, hyper detailed, what have you? It is funny that when Chris mentioned animations, I would say that strangely enough, his comment actually made me rethink sort of my answer, because I do think animations matter a ton, as well as in a game. I don't know about you guys, but one thing I'll always nitpick, and I'll try to ignore it, but is clipping or collision detection. Like when you like supposedly near something, if you guys saw my Gene Rain review, you can hunker up next to items. And I am telling you, there is a 5-foot gap between you and the item. That's how bad the collision detection. You're just like, what the? He's not even protected. He's quite literally in the middle of the forest now because he tried to, you know, suck up to this wall or, you know, or something like that. So I was just wondering, it's important to me that we see companies be able to go out there and straddle the sort of the technical hurdles, and you don't have to have the best looking game. But then you get University Tycoon, which looks like it was made in, you know, Apple IIe. So what were you going to say, Lance?
I just wanted to say for me, it's not the deal breaker for me is not the graphics alone.
Graphics,
it has to be good, and the animation as well. But if it's a simulation or a tycoon game or anything, it's really the soundtrack. I've played a bunch of Surviving Mars, and I really adore that game, but I cannot go into it right now because the soundtrack is just so boring. And there's not a lot of extra filling in it. So you just sit like, it's the same with City Skylines.
Right.
It's the same.
The elevator music? Is it just like elevator
music?
Yeah,
it is. It's just like you're just sitting and getting more and more. More crazy all the time. So even though it doesn't have to be this is cutting edge everything.
Right.
It's just the gameplay in itself are repetitive. It's a repetitive gameplay loop for these kinds of games. If you make this music do the same, you just go insane. It's not fun. And so at least if I could put on my own playlist and stuff like that, it would be fine. But not a lot of games allow that today.
That's a really good point about a soundtrack. Depending on the certain game, how a soundtrack can be such a big deal. That makes perfect sense to me for sure. Does anybody have anything else to add before we close this sucker up? Anybody want to talk about anything? What are you covering, Larsenies, on your channel?
Right now I stream... practically, I try to stream every day. I'm doing Dark Souls, Majora's Mask, Hollow Knight, Castlevania, Symphony of the Night. So,
is there a game you're not playing then? I'm just joking.
I'm still trying to figure that one out. And I'm playing No Man's Sky off camera. Just trying to see how that next update is. And it's pretty, like, I have fun. It's a lot more fun with playing with a friend. And the base is pretty cool. So I'm enjoying that. So that's right now what I've been playing.
Yeah, that's actually one of the best parts about the Discord is we jumped in and played No Man's Sky. And I will say, like, you know, multiplayer, it definitely elevates it. What about you, Chris Face? What are you playing?
Mostly No Man's Sky at the moment. But I'm jumping between that and Northgard and some Vermintide 2 as well. And some Total War, Warhammer 2. And yeah, I'm jumping all over the place. But those are the main ones I'm playing right now.
You need to tell Silver, because those Vermintide and Warhammer, he would love people to play with. He's one of the people in the Discord. He plays that all the time. Vermintide 2, such a fun game. If you guys, if people haven't checked it out, I think it's on Game Pass, right? On the Xbox? Yeah.
It's on the Xbox now.
Yeah, and it's on Xbox Game Pass.
It's
so
later for PS4.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that was the one thing about Vermintide that seemed odd, is they're definitely focusing on the Xbox right now and the PC. And the PS4, the last thing I saw was yes at some point. So, not quite sure about that. What are you playing, Lansby?
I'm a bit all over the place right now, actually. I tried to go through the Bioshock games and the Bioshock 2, the remaster. I tried to play it and it kept on bugging out of me, so I got pretty mad about it. So right now I'm juggling between figuring out Warframe, how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got back to Overwatch a bit, playing that. And just you mentioned Pool Panic in the start of just in the start. So I had promised myself to buy that, so I actually bought that. So it's, I'm going to play that one because it really looks fun.
Dude, so. It's so fun. Pool Panic is fucking crazy fun. And the dev, I didn't upload the video because the dev was apparently, I don't know where the fuck he was recording. It sounded like he was recording at a soccer game. So I didn't upload the YouTube video, but on the stream, when the dev came on for Pool Panic, he was saying that there is a patch for controls coming up. So if you're on the PC and you're having some issues with control, anybody who's listening, be aware that they're going to, it looks like they're going to patch that. I don't know about the Switch version, but I know with the PC, the mouse and keyboard is finicky as fuck. Me, I'm playing Monster Hunter and a couple other games I can't talk about. There's going to be a preview on one. Other than that, I think that's it for us. I want to thank everybody for joining. Thanks these guys for stopping by and yiggity-yacking with me. Definitely always interesting to talk to people who normally don't have channels, that kind of stuff. Though Larceny does have his, Lance, you don't have a channel. I just see you on Twitter now, right? You don't have a channel.
Oh, yeah, I actually focus mostly on finding other people and trying to share their content around.
Yeah, very cool.
Gain some kind of following that way around.
Yeah, very cool. I saw that as well. But I want to thank everybody for watching or listening, depending on where this gets uploaded. Again, thanks to these guys. If you guys get a chance, check out the Patreon. If you don't, I hear you. That's fine. We all have to spend our money in different ways. Apparently, Lance is not spending it on childcare. He's spending it on 150 hours of some fucking game. So maybe we'll get Lance's email and you can send him some PayPal money to pay a babysitter. And I'm just joking if anybody thinks that's bad. I'm just joking. Lance is an excellent father. He's had his kids running in during podcasts before. As a matter of fact, you've controlled them quite well. Did you, like, padlock the door? How did they not get in, Lance? No.
Right now.
Do they just know? Are you, like, staying?
No. They're in the bed right now. They're building. They say they're building a house in the beds because right now we have, like, a million degrees. So even though it's 9 p.m. and they should have slept for 2 hours ago, they cannot sleep.
I'm sorry. It's what time at your place?
9 p.m.
Is that not the sun I'm seeing outside the fucking window right now?
It is. It is the sun.
What the fuck? 9 p.m.
Yeah, but that's how it is when you live on the
yeah. Well, nobody should fucking live there then. I think that's proven right there. So well, what time does it get dark?
I would say the sun is settling like in a half an hour it's going to settle, and around 10 it will be dark. So
I falcon punch that bitch.
4 o'clock or something like that. So.
That's terrible, but, man. That's sleep.
But then we don't really right now. We don't really sleep because we have a heat wave, so it's impossible to sleep. But in the winter, we have like 18 hours a day. It's dark.
So. Yes.
So yes. In the summer, it's 18 hours a day. It's
I'm alive when the world's dead. That's my favorite saying. Anyway, that's it for us. Thank you very much for sitting down with the weather report with Lansby. I appreciate it. It was an excellent time. I hope you guys enjoyed yourself. Peace out, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your week. Yeah, your week. Yeah, because it's fucking Monday right now, isn't it? No, it's Tuesday. What fucking day is today? Tuesday. Anyway,
Tuesday.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of your week.